In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This brings today to tomorrow, a close to the 12 days of Christmas. And it's very interesting, this feast, because it is far older than Nativity. Nativity is actually a feast that was first celebrated in Rome and then made its way into the East gradually. But originally, it was celebrated today with Theophany, the two feasts together that were called the Feast of Lights. It's a very, very old feast. I mean, we even have a sermon by St. Hippolytus of Rome going back to the early 200s on this feast. And if you look at it from a liturgical standpoint, the Vespers for Nativity, for instance, has only 8 readings, whereas of last night, the Vespers for Theophany had 13. And so it shows the great emphasis that's put on this magnificent feast, absolutely one of my favorites in the entire world. Now, there's a lot to it. There are so many ways that we can approach this feast and the things that happened in the gospel readings that it's almost impossible to cover it all. So we'll focus in on just a few. One of these is the idea that after the Lord became incarnate, after he had achieved adulthood at the age of 30, he came to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And we would wonder, why in the world does the Lord need to be baptized? Well, he said it's to fulfill all righteousness. And that's exactly what he did, because he went down into the water and then came up out of the water one single time. But yet we baptize with 3 immersions. Now, why is this? Well, because the worship of the Trinity was made manifest that day. The first time, really, that the worship of the Trinity has been made so clear since that first chapter in Genesis, when the Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. This was something unique. This was something marvelous. And so that's why we take these theophanies, as this feast is often called, not just the theophany of the Lord, but the theophanies, because it's a manifestation of the 3 persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord is baptized once, we are baptized 3 times. And it's a glorious and wonderful thing that he did for us in going down into the water. Why would we even consider this to be such a big deal? Water is, after all, the foundational element of all life, of everything. And so the Lord, by taking upon himself our nature, goes down and touches the water. He is immersed into the water, and his divinity, present in his person, sanctifies the water and all creation from that point going forward. We don't think of this usually in terms of cosmic significance. The feast is often celebrated, well, he goes into the water and that's fine, and we bless the water, we all go home. But this feast has enormous, enormous significance to it, because it shows us the purification of the human person. Because after he comes up out of the water, what does the gospel say? The heavens were opened. The heavens before were closed to any human being. But now the Lord, in his person, divine and human, opens up these heavens to everyone. It's a miraculous and wondrous thing. When we saw a few days ago St. Stephen, when he was martyred, he was the first one, after this manifestation of the Lord, the first person in human history to see also the heavens opened and Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father. This was because of what the Lord had done in this baptism today. We know that nothing compares to the Lord in terms of his holiness, don't we? Even the cherubim and the seraphim, they can't really look at the great purity of the Lord. Even though they are sinless, they still don't have the same type of purity, the angelic hosts don't, that the God of heaven does. They can't compare to that, even though they are in heaven with him. But you know what happens? On this day, on this particular feast day, the human being is granted that ability to attain that perfect purification that even the angels in heaven will never have. That's the great gift that God gives us. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become a cherubim or a seraphim or a throne, dominion, principality, power, on and on the list goes. He became man. He became a human being so that the archetype that was in heaven now becomes the reality on earth. He goes down into the water. He sanctifies all of creation by doing so. I mean, Orthodoxy has got to be the ultimate environmentalist church when you think about it, because we talk about the creation, the recreation of creation. We think about all of creation that had been groaning in travail up until that time, because man, being the pinnacle and king of creation, once he fell, everything under him fell too. But now today, that is all restored. Everything is set aright. Everything is put back in its normal place. And the Lord, who then later takes our human nature up into heaven, and it's always going to be there with him, he restores us to the potential and possibility of this sort of absolute beauty of creation, this purification of our souls and bodies, so that we will one day, God willing, be in heaven atop all of the creation, atop all of the angels and saints. That's why they marvel at this today. As the services tell us so emphatically, that the angels were amazed at everything they saw, that they couldn't believe that the Son of God, because they knew exactly who he was going down into the water to be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness, as he said, yet a much greater plan was in place when he did this. He takes everything belonging to us now and recreates it, gives it pristine, absolutely beauteous, absolutely clear in front of his Father. What an incredible thing. This feast just never ceases to amaze me when I think about it. And I read about all the things that are said in the services of the church, about from the Psalms, and the Jordan saw thee and fled, because creation was afraid to embrace the Son of God within itself like it does today. It doesn't know what has hit it, in other words, when the Lord goes down into the water. What an astounding thing. And today, later, we will bless the water. And we will partake of this same Jordan water that the Lord creates at his theophany. You'll notice in that service, there's a long prayer, and it emphasizes over and over again, today this is happening, today this is happening, today this is happening, as if to drive it home that this is not just a distant event. This is not just a one-time thing where the Lord was fulfilling a prophecy or completing the Old Testament or fulfilling that which John the Baptist had been sent to do. No, it's far, far beyond that. Far beyond that. This water, this mystery, this mysterion of the church, this great sacrament of the church tells us to take this very water home with us, to anoint ourselves with it, to bless things with it. The service says that it is for forgiveness of sins, for purification of soul and body, and so many other things that we will hear. So let's not get caught up in the routine of our liturgical cycle. Let's not think, well, okay, you know, 12 days have gone by since Nativity, the 12 days of Christmas are ended, and here all of a sudden is Theophany, and then things get back to normal. It's not like that. On this day, nothing will ever be normal again, because normal means our fallen selves living in a fallen world and dealing with sin and trepidation and captivity of our souls and bodies to all sorts of things. That is done today if we will but take advantage of what the Lord gives us on this day. You can partake of this water. You can be recreated yourself, with the absolute possibility of never sinning again, if that's what you want. Unfortunately, too many of us don't want that. We fall too easily back into those same habits and the ways of thinking and doing things that plague us, it seems like, the rest of the year. But that doesn't have to be that way. This is why the Lord came. He wants all of this to be done with. But we have to take hold of him in all of this. We have to go down into that water with him to come back anew, to come back absolutely clean and absolutely purified. The chance is there for us to do that. And even if we sin again, if we keep this in mind, this day, this theophany, this manifestation of the Holy Trinity, if we remember that, if we but get off of our lazy horses and get on to the fast ones, to the ones that really know how to ride, if we do that, then we have the possibility of becoming saints. And it's not that difficult to be a saint if you have a willing spirit, as St. Seraphim of Sarov teaches us. So do this, my brothers and sisters. Remember what it is you are here for. Understand that all the angels and saints in heaven are with us today, that they are looking upon this congregation, praying with us, exhorting us, doing these things to remove ourselves from the lies of stubbornness and sin and putting all the things of God behind us when we should be putting all the things of God in front of us. This is what this is out here for today. This is why the Lord goes down into the waters to tell us, your redemption is now. Your redemption is at hand. Do you want to be redeemed? That's the simple question. And every time we sin, we say, no, we really don't. But if in our hearts we really do, then we get back up. We partake of the water. We partake of the body and blood of Christ. We pray. We ask the Lord to forgive us. We ask him to turn our lives around and to put him at the center. This is what he tells us today. This is his theophany. This is his glorious manifestation of the Holy Trinity, of which our Lord Jesus Christ is the second person. This is what we should look forward to, and I hope all of you will do that, to use this as a starting point. We talk about New Year's resolutions, don't we? They're absolute foolishness because we never keep them. It's just something that we say to make ourselves feel better about ourselves at the beginning of the year. Well, this year's going to be different, we say. Well, make it different. This is the day it starts. Make it different. Make this the day that you will be on that path to salvation and you won't waver. Absolutely not waver. So come to the Lord, partake of the things that he gives us, return to him, and make your vows and pay them to the Lord our God, as the psalm says. Say that today is really going to be the beginning of my new life in Christ, and I'm never going to abandon him. Amen.